Hey everybody, we have missed all of our listeners and we have missed recording and putting out some episodes. We had to take a brief little hiatus after the Christmas holidays through the last couple months, but we are back strong starting our season 3, and stay tuned. We plan to have some interesting guests and some fun topics. So stay tuned because we plan to have a fun and interesting and informative season 3.
Hello, I'm Alberto Salvato. Welcome to Crime Time, a Virginia criminal law podcast. I'm here with Anna Dvorak, Anthony Norse, and Ann Thayer. Enjoy the show.
So here it is, legal disclaimer, because we are lawyers and we've got to write one. So if you are listening to this podcast, thank you. We sincerely hope you are listening to this podcast for its entertainment value and not with the intention of acquiring legal advice for any individual case or situation. I mean, come on, you wouldn't take advice from someone you have never met or spoken to directly, right? If you were bleeding profusely, you wouldn't listen to a podcast in hopes of a bandage somehow materializing over the internet and onto your 3D printer. Seeking actual legal advice can be just as important as a tourniquet. The hosts of this podcast are in no way intending to create an attorney-client relationship with any listener. Sorry, we are sure you all are great people, but we cannot stress enough how little we know of you and your case. And rather than risk an awkward moment, let us just remember we have never met. Nothing on this platform should be taken as legal advice for any individual case or situation. We are just a group of friends with differing opinions and viewpoints, which we will try to explore through discussions of current events, law changes, and whatever else floats our fancy.
In this episode, Crime Time's take on Alec Baldwin's case. As many of you have heard, and actually I'm pretty sure everyone has, there was a very unfortunate case about a year ago, maybe 18 months ago, I think it was October 2021, where on the set of Rust, Alec Baldwin accidentally ended up shooting one of the workers on the set, and that poor lady actually died. The New Mexico prosecutor's office ended up charging two people. Actually, I think it might have been three people on that set, one of them being Alec Baldwin. And the charge that was given to him, multiple people, was involuntary manslaughter. So we're here to speak about whether or not, A, we think that that's the appropriate charge, and perhaps we'll touch into what might have happened if this occurred in Virginia. I'd like to welcome back again Anne, Anna, and Tony. It's been a while since we've recorded, and I'm hoping to shake the rust off of us.
Oh, that's a very poor joke. Involuntary manslaughter isn't that different between states. It's the concept of a negligent act that rises to the criminal. And we see it a lot in places like car accidents and reckless shootings or throwing rocks over an overpass onto a highway, things like that. And we were talking before we started recording, and Alberto pointed out that this is not the first time someone has died on set by a shooting. And in fact, most of us have heard of the movie The Crow. I mean, some of our younger listeners may not have ever seen that movie or acknowledged the existence, but I believe it was Brandon Lee who was shot and killed by a prop gun on that set. It's very similar circumstances. I think he was shot in the abdomen, as it was in this case.
And for many of you who don't know, Brandon Lee is Bruce Lee's, or was Bruce Lee's, son. And very similar to what ended up happening with the Rust set, the gun was supposed to have been properly prepared. But what ended up happening, I think there was a misfire. Part of a previous bullet was stuck in the barrel. And when they shot the blank, it projected out, you know, basically a bullet into Brandon Lee's stomach, and he fell backwards. Sadly, the director and most other people thought that he just fell back and did the wrong planned move and was actually on his back before people realized that he had been injured. So they wasted a few minutes thinking that he was just dazed from hitting his head when he fell back. But that's one death. Another one that is really dating myself, and I'm hoping that Anna, Tony, and Anne, even though they're much younger than I am, would remember this.
I just want an aside. Dating himself was most of Alberto's life.
That was good. That was good. I've been dating myself for my whole life. Anyway, you guys remember that show Voyagers? It was.
Oh my God! You mean Star Trek Voyagers, or do you?
No. Voyagers. It had Salil Moonfry's half brother in it. And it had this other guy.
Soleil. What are you? Not Soleil. French?
Well, whatever. Soleil Moonfry. And it had this guy, John Eric something. And he was on another show called Cover Up and put a gun to his head, fooling around. like because he was frustrated with a scene and shot himself in the head. I don't think criminal charges were actually raised in either the Crow or the cover-up shooting, but it did lead to a whole bunch of civil cases and a lot of settlements out of court. But unlike those in Rust, there were criminal charges brought.
In Rust, a lot of the information that we are finding out come from the probable cause statement. But before we sort of get into that, this had been brought into Virginia. It's hard to know if a prosecutor would have charged this because it's hard to prove that an act of negligence rises to criminal negligence. And I'm going to take a moment to bore the audience.
Not you.
But to tell the last part of the criminal negligence piece, which is an instruction that you, a jury, would get. It says that unless you believe from the evidence beyond a reasonable doubt that the defendant was guilty of negligence so culpable or gross as to indicate a callous disregard of human life and of the probable consequences of his act, you cannot find him guilty of involuntary manslaughter. In order for criminal liability to result from negligence, it must necessarily be reckless or wanton and of such a character as to show disregard of the safety of others under circumstances likely to cause injury or death. This is a really, really difficult standard to meet. It can't just be that an accident happened that resulted in death. Those happen all the time. We have car accidents. We have people getting hit in a crosswalk. A driver looking to the left and then turning right and not seeing a pedestrian and hitting them, and that person dies, they hit their head, driver stays at the scene. Nobody's charging that driver with criminal negligent homicide. They're not charging them with involuntary manslaughter, but they are being sued in court for wrongful death. And so what is different about this case and cases where people are mishandling firearms, especially in a case with a movie set, is that actors, while they might be trained somewhat on firearms, there are armorers there, but many of these firearms are not loaded with real bullets. Like in the Brandon Lee case, it was actually a blank round and a fragment which hit him, which is what Alberto explained. So it's not even a real bullet, but there was enough force with that projectile to kill him, which is completely unlucky. So if you think that you're using a weapon, you're supposed to be pointing at them, that's part of the scene. Like in that case.
But what's interesting, the person who was shot, I don't think she was an actress. She was.
Right. I'm talking about the Crow.
Oh, yeah.
I'm the not Crow. Talking. In the Crow, it's part of the scene.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. It was. You're right. Right. You're 100% right about that. Yes.
And so it's part of, like, the person would have no reason to believe that they were given a gun with a live round that would have killed right. this person. In Alec Baldwin's case, the person is killed, as you said, is not an actor. And he's kind of waiting for the next scene to be shot.
So why was he pointing the gun at this person? I think that's probably one of the reasons why the prosecutors may have charged him with that. Is that what you're getting to?
Well, that's part of it, right? People who are, and I don't know what Alec Baldwin's history is with owning or using firearms other than on a movie set. But if you are somebody who's trained in gun safety, one of the first things you learn is you never
point a gun.
A gun, never at anyone.
I mean, Tony, even if you think it's fake.
Right. Even if you think it's fake. I mean, and we're putting aside squirt guns and things like that.
Really?
I have done very, very, very tiny amount of firearms training, as in I shot a gun like one time at like a firearms training class, like a safety gun safety class, because I wanted to know what that was like. Anybody here gone shooting or been done any gun training?
So I was never really into firearms that much, but I had a cop friend years ago who took a bunch of us to a shooting range, and we got to use like his wife's little pistol, and we got to shoot his rifle, and actually did pretty good. I think I still have like my bullseye mark or whatever that thing is called. But shortly after that, I was involved in a pretty serious shooting case where I had one of the defendants who was the driver of a car. There had been an incident at a club, and I guess the other car followed my clients, and then they were kind of out on the road, and as the other car was exiting off a highway or off the ramp off of a highway here in Virginia, one of the people in the car that my client was driving shot at the other vehicle and ended up paralyzing a guy in that car. And I know they said it would be hard to shoot that shot if it happened again and again. You know, it was a tough shot to make, but just watching what had happened in that case and how things went down in court and that sort of thing regarding the firearms, it just kind of turned me off of it and hadn't had an interest ever since.
I have. I actually did it with the Boy Scouts of all of all clubs, because train them young. Yeah, it's actually pretty interesting. And I've done it a couple of times with training, and it's not, I'm not a big gun guy at all. But if you need to use one, you ought to know how to use one. And it's scary, the power that you have in your hands. And there are a lot of rules that you should follow. Not rules, but a lot of habits that you should get before you handle a gun. And the first rule is never point the gun, always point it down. You only point it when you're ready to use it. That's it. And if you're not ready to use it, you don't. And ironically, when I was at one time that I was in an instruction class, the instructor set off the gun accidentally and shot at a target, even though he was in the middle of explaining to us what not to do. And he did what not to do, but it was scary. You know, I don't know why Alec Baldwin supposedly was pointing at somebody. Did I switch? Well,
interesting. No. What interesting, Alberto very, very succinctly told why we don't point guns at people and what about gun safety. And what's interesting, one of the reasons charges were brought is Alec Baldwin went on TV and made multiple media interviews. And I will quote from an interview that was stated with George Stephanopoulos. Alec Baldwin said, "I would never point a gun at anyone and pull a trigger at them. Never, never. That was the training that I had. You don't point a gun at me and pull the trigger." So one of the things that authorities said is his claim that he wasn't pointing a gun at anyone and putting his finger on the trigger says that multiple photos and videos clearly show Baldwin multiple times with his finger inside of the trigger guard and on the trigger while manipulating the hammer and while drawing, pointing, and holstering the revolver. So Alec Baldwin made lots of different statements about how he handled the firearm, how it just went off, or he never touched the trigger. And yet there's obviously, they're on a movie set. There's tons of pictures of what's going on. There's tons of video about what's going on. The daily situation. And here he is being hung by his own words. Now, just reading this doesn't mean that this behavior is criminally negligent, but it does show that Alec Baldwin knows he's not supposed to point a real gun at someone. And the gun he did have was not a prop gun. It was a real gun.
But in this case, it's not just the fact that he pointed the gun at someone. Part of the theory is that since he was a producer, supposedly, or part producer of this film, that he cut corners and hired the wrong people, the wrong professionals, to make sure that gun wasn't dangerous. It's a strange theory, and I know you said something about would the prosecutors do it. I wonder whether or not prosecutors bring charges sometimes because they are high profile. I'm just saying that. I'm sure it happens in some jurisdictions. I'm not suggesting it happens in New Mexico, even though they made a huge mistake that they should know not to do. We'll get to that later. But, you know, it's not just a firing of the gun and pointing. It's supposedly the entire set or people who are in charge are supposed to make it happen safely, did not follow those procedures that were put into place because of instances like Brandon Lee and the John Eric, forgot his last name, but one of my favorite shows, Voyagers, did I mention that? And the Twilight Zone. And the Twilight Zone death was actually resulted in a couple of criminal trials that lasted, I think, nine or so months. But so I just want to make it clear, from what I understand, it's not just pointing the gun at someone. It's making sure, or the people in charge of the safety, making sure that they follow the procedures, and they're assigning the blame on Alec Baldwin and some of the other people who are producers.
Right. Well, obviously, Alec Baldwin has said a lot of these things, but you're absolutely right. He didn't load the gun or not load the gun, right? He did not handle it right before he got it. He definitely trusted how it would be handled. And in fact, his lawyer said Mr. Baldwin had no reason to believe there was a live bullet in the gun or anywhere on the movie set. He relied on the professionals with whom he worked, who assured him the gun did not have live rounds. "We'll fight these charges and we will win." So it's interesting because, you know, I tend to agree that I think it's a very winnable case for Alec Baldwin. And if I had to guess why the charges came, instead of being contrite for this accident, you can feel sorrow for someone else without saying that, and you can be, the genesis of the accident without being criminally liable. He goes around and talks about how it's not his fault and it's all these other people to blame. And, you know, I know about guns. I would never point them at someone, and everybody knows there's going to be pictures. I mean, like, he's got to know there's pictures. And I didn't pull the trigger. I didn't do that. I, you know, all these things that are lies or misleading, you know, like things he didn't remember because it happened in a split second. And when you say those things, you come off as guilty when you have evidence to refute it.
Right. You're on the record of saying something that can easily be refuted, just like what you're saying. Right. It's, yeah, it's that's like, why you should, what?
Shut the front door. Shut it. There isn't a lot of case law saying this accident doesn't rise to criminal negligence because these cases are so specific. They're so fact specific. And this case is going to be very interesting. They have also charged the armorer, Ms. Reed, with involuntary manslaughter as well.
One person already pled to a misdemeanor, right?
Right. It was like reckless handling of a firearm.
Yeah, which is weird. Why would one person?
Because he's cooperating.
That makes sense.
I think he's the one who handed the firearm. Let's double check this. I don't want to be wrong about this. I think he double checked the gun and he was the one who handed it to Baldwin. I don't think she did.
Shouldn't that person be the one who's most negligent?
Let me just double check. Well, he is apparently an assistant director, so he's not an armorer.
So he must not have been the person who handled the gun.
He handled a gun because I think, let me just see what the facts say. Oh. What do the facts say?
The allegations, not necessarily the facts.
Well, right. The allegations. Let me see. They use the Google machine to say who gave gun to Alex Baldwin. Alec Baldwin, sorry. I keep calling him Alex Baldwin like I'm an old person. What's that Alex Baldwin up to these days? Crew member yelled cold gun as he handed Alec Baldwin prop weapon. That was the David Halls. The cold gun remark was meant to indicate that the weapon did not have live rounds, according to an affidavit for a search warrant for the movie set. Baldwin was handed one of three prop guns by assistant director David Halls that were set up in a cart by an armorer for the movie Rust. When the actor fired the gun, a live round hit Hutchins in the chest and wounded Souza, who was nearby, according to the affidavit. So the person who pled to reckless handling was the assistant director. Clearly, he was wrong about the gun being loaded. And then there's a real question. I mean, I would have to question why there were live rounds on the set at all. And I'm going to that because I think that's why the armorer herself is charged. Because why wouldn't you just use blanks? Does anyone know why you would want to use live rounds on a movie set?
I think just live rounds.
Yeah. You know? Why would what hit her was not a blank.
I know it was live. Maybe because they just get these guns that are real and nobody checks them, just make sure that they're not loaded. I mean, it looks like Tony might have an opinion on that.
No, he doesn't. He immediately muted himself and told Alberto. Tony said that Alberto should go to hell. Okay, I wrote that.
Yeah, that's he did.
Yeah, sure, right there.
Well, I'm sure it has something to do with it. Okay, good. Thank you. Well, thank you for clearing that up. I actually thought you did. I just missed it.
You guys already talk about, like, why is Baldwin in trouble if it's not his job to check the firearm?
Because, we kind of touched on that. I think they're putting a lot of the blame on him because he was cutting corners, supposedly as part of the producing team or the producers. So he didn't put into place the proper precautions. That's what the allegation is. So, you know, he cut corners from probably getting somebody who wasn't as experienced to handle the gun or to be the armorer, things like that. And what I did just a quick search on what the actual regulations are for Hollywood. I'm not sure if they have anything codified, but for instance, the Los Angeles Times, according to them, the protocol is that a prop master or in their absence, an armorer checks a weapon before and after each firing. So according to this article, there aren't any detailed steps specifying how a gun should be handed to an actor, which is strange. So obviously movies can be filmed in every state and there's no, unless if it was something federal that came out, but why wouldn't there be just one way to do it? Why not just have a standard procedure for every movie?
Well, I have a feeling there is more of a standing. Well, one of the things, so they put the statement of probable cause out, then they consulted with expert armors. Because when you decide to bring a charge like this, you're thinking, is this the standard way that you do things? And they said, in a rehearsal, you normally use a plastic gun. You don't even use this was a rehearsal. It wasn't even going to be how it was finally shot. And you would use a plastic gun, and you would certainly not use a real gun. And there should be no firing of blanks required. You fire blanks because I think it gives that real...
The recoil.
The recoil. It gives you the real, but it's also like there's like a little burst of...
But look, in Star Wars...
But that's a blank.
Right, I know.
Star Wars, everything was fake. You know those, like...
I get you, blasters, but that's my point. They made it look like these blasters were working. You're telling me 40 years later, they can't make it look like a gun's freaking firing?
No, I agree with you. I don't know why they would use a real gun and a real bullet.
And if you can't act like the thing's got recoil, well, guess what? You shouldn't even think about an Oscar.
But why don't they have procedures in place for the movie studios, period? Like, it should be a uniform. It can't be the first time, like you've talked about before, that it comes up, right?
Yeah, it's not. I mean, it's been happening since, you know, these things have happened for years. Since the 80s, I think there's been 3 or 4 that I can think of.
Yeah, I mean... It definitely seems like this was an irregular movie set, that people were doing things that they shouldn't be doing. Apparently, before the shooting, there were people who quit the set saying it was not a safe set to be working on, who were working as part of the crew.
That's not a good look.
No. But they also talked about how Baldwin did not go to required firearms training prior to the commencement of filming. Statements and depositions from OSHA, Office of, was it? Occupational Safety Hazard Agency, and evidence show Baldwin was provided only minimal training on firearms, even after Reed requested more training for Baldwin.
But the dude's been in so many movies, you'd think that he'd been trained at one of the movies he's handled a gun in, which I'm sure were, actually, I don't know now, I can't think of an Alec Baldwin movie he was handling a gun, except for Miami Blues, which was in the very late 80s.
I don't know Miami Blues. Nobody knows that movie, not even Tony.
It might not even be Alec Baldwin. Let me look it up. I'm going to do IMBD.
I can't believe you're like so old.
Yep. Blake Wallace and I went to a Flickr back in the day.
In 1982, you went with Blake Wallace? Weren't you like 8?
So get this. I just pulled up Miami Blues, and it's Fred Ward, Alec Baldwin, and Jennifer Jason Leigh. And...
And on the, I like her. She's awesome.
Yeah, I know, too. But look at female. But on the billboard, it says real badge, real gun, fake cop. I'm sorry, but that's just messed up. Anyway, that's terrible.
On the set, the FBI took dummy rounds, blank rounds, and suspected live ammunition, a total of 5 suspected live rounds and 1 spent casing of a live round that was discharged, causing the shooting, were seized by investigators. What were live rounds doing on the set? This doesn't make any sense.
Right. But I'm sure live rounds look the same as blanks. It's just a matter of the powder inside, right? Or no?
I don't know.
Maybe it was supposed to be a murder and they said the wrong person got shot.
You know, correct.
There's always that possibility.
There's always that twist.
So one thing, and Ann, you brought this up about having some universal thing. So there are the actors are protected, like kind of like in that union, the SAG, the Screen Actors Guild. Like, I think that they do actually have some sort of protocols for that. And just a quick search on that, it seems like they do not make it the performer's responsibility to check any firearm, which that makes sense because performer, they're just an actor. They're not. You know, they should be able to rely on these professionals that handle them, just like they rely on people who are blowing up things around them, that they're not going to get burned or blown up to pieces, or, you know, they're swinging from a cable. So they're not required to check to see if that's going to support them. So why would they be required to check the gun? But so that kind of goes back to maybe removing the liability from Alec Baldwin, but it still doesn't, you know, if he's responsible for the safety on the set, then I think that negligence could give rise to the criminal.
Well, and here's the thing about this case, and this is the framing. If it frames the way the prosecutor wrote the probable cause, all of these things, or this is why the charges happen, right? This is, you know, he didn't follow gun safety protocols. He didn't clear the weapon with the armor. But as you just pointed out, Alberto, that's clearly the way the protocols work within the Screen Actors Guild. And what protocols they came up with after Brandon Lee is that he in no way should ever be responsible for checking that gun. And that was actually the role of the gentleman who pled guilty to the reckless handling when he yelled out, cold gun, because he would have gotten it from the armor, yelled out cold gun, and handed it to Baldwin. So he was responsible to do that check. So the prosecutors in this case do have this huge hurdle because they're saying, this is how you handle a firearm in real life. And anybody who handled a firearm or like goes hunting or two police officers sitting there, no, you don't handle firearms in this way. It could be a live round, all these things. Baldwin's position, his legal team's position has got to be, he was intentionally not responsible for this. You know, this is the rules. This is the protocol. And these were the people, and Reed and Halls were the problem. Now, their issue with Reed is going to be, you've got Halls in the middle. He yells out cold gun. He's the check, right? So how do you get past that as a prosecutor?
With that point, it doesn't matter how, you know, unsafe the set was before that, because you don't even know why it was unsafe. Maybe the water was bad. Maybe something else. Doesn't necessarily mean it was physically unsafe for these people. But the second somebody says cold gun, that responsibility, I think, shifts to that person.
Right.
And his negligence.
He's the check on Reed. So Reed hands it to him. Yeah. He checks it. And then he says cold gun and hands it to this guy. I mean, to Baldwin. I mean, I think the issue here is that Baldwin's behavior, if I had to guess, you have victims that are pissed off and the guy just can't keep his mouth shut and he's making it worse and worse. And someone has to blame. This is very irregular. And this is why it went in this direction.
Well, but they investigated this for a year before they announced the charges. So there's probably a crap ton that we don't know about. And for them to write such a lengthy probable cause document makes you think that there's probably a lot more than they have.
Well, they wrote it to justify their decision to say these facts, because this is the fact, these facts support probable cause of criminal negligence. Because I did look into this a little bit. The idea of criminal negligence in New Mexico is not that different than criminal negligence. It exists where the defendant acts with willful disregard of the rights or safety of others and in a manner which endangers any person or property. We also require that the defendant must possess subjective knowledge of the danger or risk to others posed by his or her actions. Not objective knowledge, subjective knowledge.
They got to look into his head.
This is not your gun owner, like NRA, got his concealed weapon permit, did all these things, shoots a gun all the time.
Charlton
this is Heston. Subjected knowledge of the danger of risk. And if you're Alec Baldwin's lawyer, you're handed a gun right after someone yells out cold gun, a person who's been given those guns from an armorer. So a mistake was made. If it was made by the armorer, then the check on that was the assistant director and he didn't do his job. And it's interesting, you charge Reed and you charge Baldwin, but you only charge him with a misdemeanor to get the two of them. Just a critical error. I think that kills their case because he's the link. He's the problem. He is the proximate cause.
But it also, I mean, frankly, that office loses a lot of credibility when they charge an offense that only became law after this incident took place, which is why they downgraded the offense from one that carried 5 years mandatory minimum to one that carries a maximum of 18 months.
And that just seems like a giant unforced error. I mean, we have all made mistakes.
Yeah, but that's huge. I mean,
it is
just huge.
It is. And I'm sure they're kicking themselves. But at the same time, as you said, this went on for a year. And maybe when they made the charging decision, it was good law. And they just made the mistake. You know me, I don't make a lot of excuses for prosecutors, but I also know what it means to be human.
Yeah, but and this is where I started thinking to myself, the want to get a high profile case out there, maybe a cloud of their judgment and put blinders on. I mean, and this is all speculation, of course. I'm not.
We know how that's worked out locally, right? People jump the gun sometimes and
Interesting how you said jump the. Yeah, interesting. You said you chose jump the gun, which I'm sure that was not on purpose. But offices get blinded by this potential fame that's coming out.
Well, it's also they also get blinded. By, I mean, they're not blinded by it, but they're like, he shouldn't be treated any differently.
But then they do. But then they treat them differently
by being harsher.
Right.
By, you know, like they're saying, I'm going to give you a disposition that's worse than everybody else gets.
Right.
Again, Alec Baldwin did himself no favors. I mean, the first thing he should have done is lawyered up and talked with his counsel about what happened.
Clearly, first thing he should have done was listen to our podcast. That was his first mistake.
That's why we tell everyone all the time, shut the front door.
Exactly. He would have been fine. If he took 40 minutes out of his day to listen to Virginia Crime Time. Oh, shoot, I got the name wrong. Crime Time with Virginia Attorneys.
Virginia Defense Attorneys. What is even the name of... Just call it Crime Time.
No wonder nobody can find it when I tell them.
Look, people, he's very sleepy. It's late at night when we do this. I do think, you know, these cases are fascinating. And if this actually gets to a trial, which I think it will, it's not going to go out on a motion to dismiss. It's going to go out on a motion to strike.
I mean, what do you think if they settle the civil side out of court? I mean, do you think that would influence the prosecutor's decision?
Well, it depends. I mean, I assume that they're going to settle the civil side.
Yeah.
It's clearly negligence there. I mean, it's just a matter of what the insurance is.
You're not going to settle it before the criminal trial is done.
Sometimes you do, and it might make it more likely that the criminal trial will be.
Yeah, it depends. Again, it still depends on the. I don't know. I don't know what the reputation is for the New Mexico.
Well, here's the thing: it happened like 18 months ago. I'm sure they had to file already because you've got to make sure you stay within the statute. But I don't know.
I don't know how long it is.
If it's wrongful death, right? Then at least in Virginia, like if you have a wrongful death case, you've got to appoint an administrator or executor, so the time doesn't run until there's all these different things, but the time limits don't run until you've got like you've got some time, but you can't just hang out forever.
And there's insurance, yeah.
But there's insurance on this case. I mean, on the set,
you know, unless they skip that, trying to save costs, which is
I doubt that. But you know, in the end of the day, like it's going to be a big settlement. And there's definitely civil negligence here.
Right.
And so then the question is whether it rises, and this definitely comes down to in New Mexico, the subjective knowledge of Mr. Baldwin, and then certainly the intervening cause of Mr. Hall's yelling out cold gun.
It still makes you wonder, why the hell would he point the gun at somebody and fire it? I mean, it comes down to that simple, basic, I don't care who you are. You just don't fire a gun. Like, he knew it would go off, like, with a blank.
Well, at the same time, like, people said he just didn't seem to be paying attention. He was just fiddling with the gun and not paying attention. We've seen in the past that some actors, you know, sometimes people similar to Alec Baldwin, not necessarily Alec Baldwin, have a way of doing stupid things. Now, most of them don't end up with anybody dying.
Right.
But people do stupid, impulsive things all the time or just are careless. But again, as I just read in Virginia, being careless isn't enough to be a criminal negligent.
Yeah.
It's pointing in her direction. Trigger was pulled and that's it. It was just extraordinarily unlucky because clearly he's not aiming at her. He sounds like he had very limited firearms training on that set. It's not like there was no allegation that he goes shooting every weekend. Maybe he does, and he's kept that from all of us. But at the end of the day, there's a lot of inconsistent things that he says. I think his case probably gets worse if he testifies, since he's done such a good job with all the inconsistent statements. But the best facts here are the facts that someone gave him a gun and said, cold gun, and it was coming from the armorer. And then the assistant director. And it's hard to, then that's his subjective knowledge. His subjective knowledge is clearly that it's a cold gun. There's no bullets in it. I just don't know how you get past that, whether it's Alec Baldwin or Joe Schmo on the street.
Yeah, I don't see it either. You know, the only thing that I don't think this happened, but the only thing I could think of is somebody's like getting mad at, you know, if you have a difficult actor and they're I don't even know how far away he was from this poor lady who got shot. I mean, I don't know how far away he was, but if he's right next to her, he's being a difficult actor, frustrated, and then points the gun and shoots at her, even though it's a blank. I don't know. I mean,
it's a 45 that he has in his hand. It's a long barrel 45. So it's a pretty powerful gun. So I don't think they were like right next to each other or anything like that. I think that would have been a lot worse.
Yeah.
But it's it's a pretty powerful caliber gun.
That's what Clint Eastwood had, right? In Dirty Harry. It's a 45. It wasn't? It's a mag. What was it? Somebody tell me.
Tony, do you know? Tony looks like he knows. He's looking it up right now. What's the caliber that Dirty Harry has?
If Blake and Chris were on, one of them would know.
Yeah, well, that's why we don't hang out with Blake and Chris. Yeah.
What if the bullets were planted?
That's what, yeah, we were talking about that. It could have been some strange subplot for
some
murder.
Some sort of setup.
Some sort of setup.
And she's an unintended victim. So
or intended.
The wild card is Baldwin. He could have done anything with that gun.
Yeah.
That's the thing, is it's not like you send it to him and he's going to definitely shoot in that direction. He could have shot in any direction. He could have just messed around and shot his own foot, for that matter.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or what was it that guy? Was it Plaxico Burress who shot himself in the leg in New York?
I think it was a foot. He was originally with the Steelers, and she was able to join in at this very moment, she would say he's a punk for going to the Giants afterwards. But yeah, he shot himself in the foot.
But he was like in a bar in New York, and he shot himself in the foot, and then adding insult to injury, he's charged with a firearms charge in New York. It's like, wow, he's already injured himself. Can't you just leave it alone?
Yep. Oh, I have a bad story. I don't even think I should tell it. I shouldn't. He wasn't my client, but there's a story. Oh my God.
No, so don't bad. Tell it. Don't tell it. Or tell it. Now I need to know.
Sure. Know. Alberto.
No, it's so apparently there was this guy who robbed a bank in Northern Virginia. And when he was running away, he put the gun into his pants in the front. Ooh. And accidentally went off. Shot off his testicles, I think it was, and got arrested and charged with the bank robbery. I think he ended up getting 30 years.
Oh.
But talk about not having a good day.
Oh, wow. Oh,
it's a 44 Magnum that Dirty Harry had.
Yes.
And a Colt 45 is different. I guess a 45 is a Colt 45. Is that what it is? I don't know about guns. We need to have Blake Wallace in here or Chris.
You know about guns, but all you need to know is those caliber weapons are pretty it's powerful. A large caliber, powerful. Yeah.
They're mini cannons.
I'm happy not to be shooting guns, but I choose any gun. I mean, one of the nice things, but I did a gun safety class with a couple of Fairfax cops just out at their house. Took my kids so they would have a gun safety class
at their house.
They live out in the sticks, so you know they have acreage and you could shoot outside during the pandemic. So I took the kids out and they shot 22 rifles. And then my husband and I shot the 22s, but also shot the handguns and things and six shooter targets. And I was hitting this one target, like right down the middle. And my friend was like, the cop, he was like, wow, you're doing great. I was like, I was aiming at that target. He's like, I'm going to take that from you.
Like, wow, how'd you do that?
I was like, because he had like all the targets lined up and he's like, wow, you're really? And I'm like, it's pulling left.
Well, one thing I learned when I went shooting, because I've gone, like I said, I've gone a few times. Well, the last time I went, I was told, look, I think you're left eye dominant. And I've been shooting with my right eye this entire time. So when I started shooting with my left eye, we went to a skeet shooting thing. I was 8 for 8. Didn't miss a freaking one. And I was like, how many bullets have I wasted shooting with the other eye? Yeah, it was pretty cool. It's like amazing what you could do when you're aiming properly.
Well, and that's another thing. Like, do you know how much ammunition costs? It's ridiculous.
Yeah, it's a lot of money.
Yeah, I mean, even if I really liked shooting, I'd be like, yeah, I'm too poor to shoot.
They should actually charge like $500 a bullet. That would keep a lot of people from dying.
True.
It's true. I mean, it's like, why is a bullet only like a couple dollars each? You know, charge them $500 to $1,000. You people think twice about shooting it.
Yeah.
I feel like we've been shooting off at the mouth for a while.
Okay, enough bad puns, old man. I think what we've come down to is whether he's in Virginia or whether he's in New Mexico, this case is either going to resolve, as Alberto said, as something smaller, or it's going to go to trial. And right now, there's a lot of posturing, and I think it's going to go to trial because I think it's a case right now where you've got a lot of egos in play, and you've got a pretty angry victim. And I think, as I said, I think that's driving the charging and why the prosecutors have been stubborn on certain things. And I disagree with you about, you know, it was a really lengthy investigation and they decided to charge. I think they had to do a lengthy investigation to have any chance at charging.
Yeah.
But I just still don't think it's a good charge.
So you think it was the appearance of a lengthy, but they decided to charge a long time ago. And it was to make the appearance that they put a lot of thought into this. Maybe. Is that what you're suggesting as a possibility?
I think after the comments he made, if I had to guess, I think after the comments he made and the interviews he went on and making it all about him. And
I didn't see any of those. I mean, I
read them to you. I read them to you.
I'm just saying I didn't see any of those when it happened.
But so. I know, but you didn't pay any attention to them. But if you were the New Mexico prosecutor and you're dealing with a grieving family.
Can right? I tell you something? I just thought about it. October 2021, I was having brain surgery.
That's right.
Why I don't remember things.
Right. You were not even on the podcast. We were like doing lengthy disclaimers. Why.
No wonder I don't remember that. Sorry.
If you would stop like interrupting chicken.
Yeah,
right.
I know.
Enough of you. We can't actually record anything. No.
Anybody want to take a shot at the final words?
No, because you like I had a thought that was complete and you interrupted me so much it wouldn't finish. Like it's ridiculous.
I'm sorry, I was playing you off like the Oscars.
You go to your corners, wrap it up. Let's go.
All right, be quiet for a second. Okay. The reason they charged was Alec Baldwin says a bunch of shit. It's making it all about him. Then they have the video and the pictures that show, oh, he did pull the trigger. Oh, he was pointing it at people after he said he wasn't doing it. And that pissed people off. And they did an investigation. They did as much as they could to try to make a case so they could bring one against him as well as the armorer. And that's what they did. And that's why I think they went in that direction. But I think if he had just shut the front door, we wouldn't have a charge at all.
Any other last words? I would tend to agree with everything Anna said, except I didn't like the cheap shot she took at me. I'm just making puns. I'm sorry. Hey, Tony, got anything to shoot? We're going to edit all this. Poor Anne has been stuck working this whole time.
I've been on mute because I'm afraid the quality of the over here would be good.
What was that?
She was being talked to by her client. Anyway, so I think we've all decided that involuntary manslaughter, if you're ever involved in an accident where someone dies and you might have been at fault in the accident, please do not start making a bunch of different statements. Find a lawyer and talk to them.
Well, yeah. I mean, are you at fault always if it's, I know this sounds stupid, but I mean, you're not always at fault if it's just accidental.
No, forget it. That's the case is to say an accident can be just an accident.
I misunderstood what you said. You said exactly right. Even if it's your fault. You weren't saying, I get it.
If you're in an accident where someone dies.
Yeah.
And you're driving a car, you hit a pedestrian. Maybe the pedestrian is wearing all black and it's in the middle of the night, right?
Yeah.
You're not at fault, but the person died. You stayed at the scene. Like you get a lawyer as soon as possible. And you try not to make a bunch of incriminating statements. You can say, oh my gosh, this is so sad. This is horrible, right? You could say stuff like that, but at the same time, it's just like, get a lawyer to be careful.
You're right.
Well, and you don't just want any lawyer. You want a criminal lawyer so that you can be advised of your right to remain silent and how anything you say can be used against you, because not every type of lawyer, even though they've been to law school, knows the ins and outs of criminal justice and how the criminal courts and criminal cases play out.
All right. Well, I tell you what, I think this was a very good episode. I wish the best for... Actually, it's sad. It's sad for everyone involved, especially sad for the family of the poor woman who was killed. And I hope everything turns out the way it should. I don't know what that is, but my heart does go out for everyone involved. I'm sure there's a lot of remorse, and I'm sure there's a lot of sadness that's going on there, but especially for the family of the surviving family of the poor lady who was killed.
Well, it was good to be back, guys.
Thanks for joining us on Crime Time. Please join us again for our next episode.
If you enjoy our podcast, Crime Time with Virginia Defense Attorneys, be sure to share our podcast with someone that you know. You can find our podcast on most of the major platforms like Spotify, Google, and Apple, as well as some of the smaller podcast platforms. We also post on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and LinkedIn, so you can find our episodes there every week on Tuesday at 9 a.m. If you want to leave us a review or a comment and tell us what topics you'd like to hear about, we always welcome feedback, and we're always looking for new ideas and guests to bring onto our show. We hope you keep listening, and thanks for being a supporter of our podcast.